Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today, it is Friday, and the way I see it, it's March 10th, Tori.
T-G-I-F, T-G-I-F.
We're back in the studio with you. It's funny because I'm thinking of the people that we're that are waking up to us in the morning. You know, I'm sure there's some people that are.
Yeah.
And I wake up to another station in the morning. Oh. You know, just the radio. I don't even know what station it is. I don't know what show I'm even listening to because it's only a couple words. Then I put it on snooze again, and you know, for half an hour like that. So I just hear a few things, and I'm thinking, I wonder about all the people that are woken up.
Maybe
with
I should
us,
maybe
you know?
I should use like a more soothing voice.
No, I don't think so. They need to be uppity and everything, you know. That's for nighttime.
Yeah, you're right. My bad.
But no, that's true. A way to wake up somebody. Hey, baby.
Hey,
wake up.
But whenever I do a low voice, I sound sadly like bronchitis-y. Like it's like hello. Everyone's like, oh God, get a lozenge.
So, well, you can always take up smoking. That'll help your health. Get your voice very raspy.
I know. No, I can't do it. I like my nasal Jewish voice. It makes me feel good.
Wow. So, you know, for the first time this week, I'm actually not freezing in here. It's actually kind of warm,
and
right?
I'm so worried because I thought, oh my God, I'm not wearing a venison carcass because it's freezing in here at all times. But it's quite lovely. It's balmy almost.
Actually, it's balmy because they can't get it right in this building.
No, but this is comfortable for women.
It is.
For women, this is right.
Okay, I'm getting a little warm. Ooh. Do you short sleeve or long sleeve?
Kind
today?
Of a three quarter. I'm going with a raglan, maroon and white sports. I'm supposed to look like I can play sports.
Oh,
in this, but
okay.
It's a V-neck like
jersey.
Yeah,
like half the women in this town wearing all these leotards and everything.
Yeah,
they don't even go.
Right, when I wear yoga pants, I've just walked to get a burrito. Yeah, for sure. And I'm sweaty because of it.
Oh man,
Lord.
This town is all bullshit.
Yep.
What big bullshit.
But everything is bullshit.
Well, you know why?
Because I'm from Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's true. I grew up in these.
It's literally a swamp.
Yeah.
And the Washington Monument literally sinks like a quarter of an inch every year.
Uh-huh.
Literally couldn't be made of more bullshit. Lawyers upon lawyers upon politicians upon lawyers.
Wow.
Yeah. But luckily, my mom was at the National Gallery of Art as a tour guide. She still is. So I had this like shining glory of goodness from D.C. and like this Smithsonian. And my dad was also.
Yeah. And you got a good mix, though.
Yeah. I got a good mix. But you have to just know that. Yeah, exactly. And then I went to Michigan for school and everyone was not bullshit.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm like, wait a minute, this is a genuine conversation.
Right.
Midwest. Well,
it took me a while to realize that LA actually does have genuine people here, but you got to know how to find them, you know?
Yeah. My bullshit meter for LA, though, is way strong right now.
Right.
I think I could tell you honestly by the way they sounded walking down an alleyway. That sounds so judgmental, but I can usually tell. The douchey level I'm right on with.
Yeah, douchiness and.
I can smell you from your Acqua di Gio a mile away.
Yeah.
Yeah, she gets it. It's funny for women. Cool water.
Yeah, we do have a guest. We're going to bring her on in just a minute. We're going to have a musical show. And it's going to be unusual music. You know, we don't hear it every day here. And we do get a lot of different styles here, right?
I'm really excited.
And I know. And we love music here. So, a fun guest as well. So we'll get to that in a minute. And any new bullshit from Washington you want to report?
Oh, there's always new bullshit.
There's always a lot, but what's at the top?
At the top. Oh, so they're trying to sell the new Trump Care, whatever. And Paul Ryan was at a meeting with his sleeves rolled up, so you know he's really working. And he goes, the way it is now in Obamacare, and he points to a PowerPoint, which is so 1994, and he goes, is that healthy kids and healthy people are paying for the sick. And someone goes, that's called health insurance. They're like, it's supposed to be like that. That's how you do it. And he was like, well, yeah, but yeah, well, yeah, I know. And then it kind of backtracked. So there was one goof there. The Russia thing won't go away. And Lindsey Graham, who you know is a very anti-Trump, hardcore Republican, though. Right. He's he said he's not letting go of the Obama wiretaps because he's like, if I'm going to investigate.
Really?
He's like, there's nothing there. And
might
I'm gonna
as
show
well,
it.
Right?
Yep. So he's going full force. He's getting, he wow. said it right on, I'm going to get there and see that there's absolutely nothing there.
What a distraction, man.
Yeah. But but you also can't allow a president to make another charge on another president and be okay with it if there's no proof.
Yeah, he
charged, but that's a felony to do that with wiretapping.
Really? What if he says it's just his opinion? I mean, you know, I think they wiretapped me. I want to investigate this. You know,
first of all, it's a totally different context when you're the president of the United States. Even saying I think has international global ripple effects. You just have to be careful with your words. Even saying things like China is welcome instead of in Taiwan is like you got to be careful with your words. And to say I think that is going to start an investigation. Mm. So you have to have some kind of. You have a credibility issue if you just say these things and nothing ever happens.
Right.
So the other thing that happened was Sean Spicer said any senator, Republican or Democrat, can put an amendment on this healthcare bill, which actually means that it changes the way the bill is put onto the floor. So the Republican was like, I'd appreciate if he gave me a darn call before he starts messing in my business. So the Republicans aren't that with Sean Spicer. He kind of stepped in it a little bit. So now there's an open rule policy for the bill and anyone can make an amendment, but that wasn't the way it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
So, you know,
and what's worrying me is on both sides of the aisle, there's a lot of turmoil going on. There's no like cohesiveness.
Well, they're kind of
with the Democrats either. They're looking for a leader, aren't they?
Oh, you're saying as a leader to?
Yeah, it's like it's just like both parties. They're not cohesive.
You know who
they're
we want? We want cool Obama back.
Yeah,
Obama.
Yeah,
and he's walking around in that hot leather jacket and those freaking cool ass pants, looking all hot and shit, windsurfing in islands and stuff. We need him now. Michelle has been speaking at surprising DC schools for the past week or two. She's been to three now, and she gathers groups of students, and then they don't know who they're meeting with, and Michelle Obama walks in, and they're discussing things. She went to Cardoza, which was, I played lacrosse against Cardoza. So she's kind of getting back into the DC role. What we need is him to stand up and say something.
Yeah.
Wearing those cool jeans.
Well, who's we, though? Who we need? Oh, you mean the Democrats?
No, I mean the world, man.
Those
leather jackets. The world needs that leather jacket. No, I understand what you mean. And I, you know, the thing is, you have to pick your battles. You haven't heard from Elizabeth Warren in a while because she can't be the shouter for every single thing. You know, Schumer's trying to be there. Nancy Pelosi, you're trying, but, it's hard to find a lead. We do need a leader. We need like a Ted Kennedy.
Yeah, something like that.
Like a lion in the Senate.
These are terrible times for politics. What can I say, you know?
Well, the Civil War, I was just thinking about it. You know what? My husband said something really smart. If there was social media during the Civil War, I'm always like, we've never been more divided. Yeah, we have. Like when we were in the Civil War, that was pretty divided, you know?
Right.
So I think this is just really loud because of social media.
Right. Yeah.
You know
everything
I mean?
We do is pretty amplified. No,
yeah,
but that's true. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. But that was a long time ago. We would hope that by now we would not be as divided.
You'd think
that we
would
have learned something.
Yeah. And there has been times when, in the 90s, when the economy was doing great, people weren't that polarized, actually, under Clinton. People were, like, much more bipartisan.
Right, yeah.
So.
But those were the 90s. It was different times.
That's what I'm saying.
And
money was going through the roof. Everyone was making money.
Yeah. Wow.
Clinton.
This picture, I don't think they have a video, but there's a picture of a girl flying, being blown by the wind in Ohio. A 4-year-old
Wait,
girl.
Is that the door?
Yeah, with the door. She's hanging onto the door. The wind is blowing her out. And
it is not funny. It's not funny.
I don't know how they had time to take the picture. Maybe
it's a camera surveillance.
Security camera.
It is not. I thought it was like CGI, but she looks as if she's just lifted. The door opens and she is whisked.
I mean, just imagine if she was out, you know, outside or something.
I think it was the gale of the force of the inertia of the door, though.
Right.
Because she holds the door and she's trying to get in. And then as soon as the door bursts open. She's gone, man.
Right.
It's crazy.
But if she was standing outside, she sure as hell would have been blown away, too, I'm sure.
I don't know.
You know, I mean, a four-year-old is a pretty small thing.
I mean, Ohio, what kind of gusts are going on over there?
I don't know, man.
And did you see the other thing, the BBC reporter who was...
Yes, I did see that. It's all over the place.
It's
the
most
viral thing ever. Every second post is that.
It's hilarious. So, yeah, he was trying to do a report from his, I guess, his library in his house.
Right.
And his kids walk in, and one kid walks in and starts making, like, animal gestures and loud noises. And the baby just rolls in his walker. And the rolls in the walker. And he's, like, trying so hard.
And he's pushing
and then the nanny, oh my God, the nanny, and she's trying to get him, and then finally
she's crawling in, like you couldn't see it.
And then the end, she reaches, you can't script it better.
Yeah.
At the end, you see her laying down and reaching up to close the
door. I mean, you know, the thing is that he's got to be like so freaking embarrassed.
His eyes are just fully closed.
Right.
He's just so.
If I were him, though, I mean, it looks like he was pushing the kid, though.
Yeah,
I would have just smiled and brought the kids, put them on my lap, and just talked. You know,
that's actually
make fun of it.
Probably
then,
what you should do.
But then
do,
when
but
you're under pressure, yeah. You don't really understand.
He literally tried to like squash his
right,
child
know.
Into oblivion. It was hilarious.
I thought that would cause a ruckus on
social
media. Somebody's going to say something.
No, we all identified, I think. And then that little, the baby, you just see float literally in and out as if by some unseen force. And that poor nanny, the face, if you pause it right when she sees what's happening.
She's in terror.
It's like the end of apocalyptic world just ended. It's so funny.
Right. The question is, why don't you lock the door if you have little kids in the house?
I've been in that situation where like the dogs come out, though, and I'm in an interview and I'm doing really well. And then like my three-legged dachshund's like, woof! And I'm like, sorry. It makes you more human. But that guy probably never has had better publicity.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? But man, that is a cute little, that baby rolling in. Like, where's she coming from?
Oh, wow. Ugh.
Yeah, good little snippet to make us feel better.
Yeah. Oh, well, enough bullshit for one morning. We're going to get to our guest now.
Yay!
And we're joined by Brigitte Bertrand. Welcome to the show. Am I pronouncing your last name correct?
Is it
Bertrand?
Yes.
Bertrand.
There you go.
Okay. So Brigitte Bertrand.
Yes, thank you
for having me. We'll try that. So it's like, okay, because the R in French is throaty, so we don't hear like the second R kind of Bertrand. Okay, whatever. But is that how you pronounce it when you tell people? I mean, you're not going to pronounce it any other way, right? But they all go like, what? Right?
Well, most of the time when just I pronounce things with a French accent, you know, I don't expect everyone to say it back to me.
Oh, oui, Berton.
No, that's just like, you know, overall not expecting people to respond to me with a perfect French accent. So.
I know, especially you look up so American and everything. So we'll get how you get to the French and all that stuff. But beautiful, tall, blonde woman, young woman.
Beautiful.
How long have you been in LA now?
I've been here about 3 years.
3 years. Mm-hmm. And where did you move from?
From Northern California, from right by San Francisco, Marin County.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Is that where you grew up?
That's mainly where I grew up, yes.
It's a great area.
Yeah. I definitely cannot complain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cool area.
Yeah.
Big family?
No, a small family, just me. I'm an only child.
And, oh, really?
And dogs.
And dogs.
Yeah.
they're part of the family.
Yeah. We got a lot of only children here, and they're like the coolest because they got to make their own little entertainment center.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What was it like growing up? I mean, did you have like imaginary friends and things like that? How did it work?
So, you know, my parents, they knew a lot of like an eclectic blend of people. So when I was little, actually, I hung out with a lot of adults, and I felt really comfortable with that. And then if it wasn't the adults, I was hanging out with the dogs, you know, drinking out of their bowl, trying to eat their food, that kind of thing.
Totally.
But yeah, besides that, you know, of course, it does, you know, since you're spending a lot of time alone, it breeds the imagination.
Yeah.
So, you know, even though I didn't have imaginary friends, I was still doing some very, very intricate Barbie scenarios.
Totally. Yeah.
Yes, very intricate.
Mine was stuffed animals.
Yes.
And I was serving them meals, and I was like a tired waitress in a diner. And my mom was like, you can just go to bed. And I was like, we have a burger on 3. And I was like, why is that so weird? But yeah, you get so into it.
I love that.
God. head.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It's 5-6 years old. I was playing doctor with the girls downstairs.
Yeah, that's the other
that's
guy.
A whole different thing.
Yeah. That's the boys.
Yeah, that's the
girls
boys.
Are having a Tennessee the Williams girls, yeah, downstairs.
Barbies. Yeah. And we're like already to, I want to become an adult.
Yeah.
I want to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, and you don't necessarily have to be an only child. I mean, I had 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And my brother, so those first 3.5 years, I remember, it's like being an only child, mm-hmm. also being the firstborn. So I also did not have like imaginary friends and stuff, but I think it gave me an opportunity to build up a certain independence, mm-hmm. you know. Okay. So then later on, when my parents sent me out here at 16 alone, I think I already had the roots in, mm-hmm. in like being independent and stuff. You know?
I'm like the baby.
So like I can take care of myself.
Right. I cannot.
No?
I'm the baby of the family. I cannot do anything for myself.
Wow.
But I openly admit it. I'm very codependent and enmeshed unhealthily with my husband.
Right.
We love each other.
Yeah, well, that's good. You know, I mean, that's the point.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't, then you'd have to be looking for someone else, constantly be looking for someone to take care of you, to depend on.
And I can.
On
I mean, I came out here alone and all. Yeah, we'll get. Yeah. But yeah, I've done it. I'm exaggerating. I went to Italy by myself for
exactly.
years.
I mean, you were in college.
Yeah, yeah.
Away from home.
And I've traveled all my. And I went to. So it's not like I can't.
Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, right.
It's just.
But I prefer.
You prefer
to have someone
to be taken care
of. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm better at talking on the radio.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So you're like riding shotgun, I guess.
Yep. That's my name, Shotgun Tori. Anti-gun.
Oh, God. You see, it's hard to imagine because for me, I always have to be like the one in charge, you know?
No, I don't want
so
that.
So it's different.
Yeah.
It's different,
yeah,
but
dynamics.
It's good. Your husband's probably one that takes charge, right?
Otherwise, I prefer it, yeah.
You guys would both be in deep trouble if you both needed to rely on somebody.
Yeah, someone's always the alpha. You always need an alpha.
Right, right. Good for you. That's good.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you have an alpha in your life?
Do I have
a beta?
An alpha? Well, alphas don't tend to work out with me.
Are you an alpha?
Maybe. I don't know. But,
being an only child, you're probably pretty independent yourself,
yeah, no,
too,
definitely.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. I think
a strong, independent woman.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why alpha don't work with me is because I've always been a free spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even about, you know, saying like, oh, like, you know, I'm not hard-headed. It's just that, you know, I do what I want. I do what feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
If somebody says, you know, this is how you should be living your life, I'm like, I am especially not listening to
you. Yeah, right. Yeah, especially not.
So what's going to happen later in your life? I mean, do you have to take someone who's not as assertive?
You need, she needs another free spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
She's a dolphin. She needs another dolphin.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I think just somebody, you know, I grew up with such an out-of-the-ordinary upbringing, and I think I just need somebody who symbiotically to me has two different cultures as part of them, even if it's not necessarily where they were born, that kind of thing, because that overall tends to work better with me. So it's more like I need, you know, another version of myself, I guess.
But a multicultural.
Yes, like a male version of myself. Yeah. And I think that would work out.
It'd be hot version. Very hot.
No, absolutely. I'm just trying to think, though. I mean, do relationships like this actually work, though?
Oh, yeah.
They do, right?
Yeah. Like Pisces.
There's not like too much independence where there's no like focus on the relationship.
No. Usually, if you're first spirit, you're very much attracted to the wanderlust. I'm not, but very much attracted to the wanderlust of another free spirit. They
absolutely.
Tend to find each other.
Yeah. Right.
And they work well together. Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. So you had an unusual upbringing. Tell us a little bit about that. What do you mean?
Well, so my parents met in the 80s in West Hollywood.
Wow.
That's a good start.
Well, West Hollywood is known for what? Being the gay part of town.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of, you know.
I'm just saying
like,
that for people that don't know LA.
Yes. So most of the time not where you meet straight men.
No.
Yeah, right?
And I live right
Although
there.
Although they go there.
My husband gets a lot of looks when we go because we live right there.
There you go.
He gets every look.
Yeah, and what I understand is some straight men go to the gay bars to pick up women.
Oh, that happens a lot.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's a happening place in West Hollywood, and that's
absolutely.
Where they met.
They met at a dinner party. Both my parents came here. My mother left because of the dictatorship in Argentina, and my father, you know, he was just getting bored of France, so he, you know, wanted to do bigger, better things.
So your parents are from France and from Argentina.
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up in in a house. First of all, I was already going to bilingual school starting when I was around like 4 years old. I actually remember going to preschool, which is like kind of weird. Mm.
That is weird. But, I mean, the bilingual, when you start early, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. No, so, you know.
So what other language did you take?
So English and French.
Right.
And then we were learning Spanish kind of, you know, later. But already that, you know, you're finding yourself with people who are learning two languages at the same time due to different reasons. And that already kind of affects the way you find yourself, not only in your perspective, but also socially.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'd never really, even though I was born in the United States, I'd never felt like fully American.
Mm. Right.
And I never fully felt fully French. So that created a lot of like identity crisis. And then I realized, I was like, this is an amazing upbringing.
Yeah,
like,
that's cool.
It really is.
Why am I, you know?
You know, they call this like a marginal person. I know, because I'm one too.
I was going to say, you're
like
one too.
Yeah, because you're on two cultures at least, and you don't know really where you belong. Mm-hmm. And then you realize, you know what? I belong to both. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's the best way to look at it. But it takes a while to realize
that,
right?
It does. It does. Yeah. And so it was out of ordinary, you know, my parents gave me a lot of freedom, a lot more than you know the people I was with in school, and I was excited about school. I wanted to do school. I wanted to learn new things. So it's never like they were like, oh, and I never did a revolt or anything like that, because I appreciated the fact that they had given me so many opportunities to travel and to make sacrifices for my education. And so we moved around a lot as well. So we got very used to moving. We're kind of gypsies in the blood.
Really?
I feel that energy, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Totally. What is that, because of work? Your dad's work or something? What was
or
he doing?
Or mom's work.
Work. Yeah, but I was just thinking, I was just thinking 20, 30 years ago,
maybe it
was different.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So my father imports and resells French wine.
Wow.
And so he would move around depending on, you know, creating like new markets. And so we would come along, of course.
Wow.
And
cool.
So it sounds like a magical childhood.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had so many first days of school.
Yeah. Right.
And that's tough, right, for a kid.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah,
that's hard.
That's
tough.
But at the same time, you know, even though it may have been tough at moments, it created the tough moments make you a stronger person.
That's true.
You know? Yeah.
But you probably had a hard time growing roots at any one place, though,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like creating like permanent friends and stuff. Because once you move, you know, it's like out of sight, you know.
I know. One of my least favorite traits is, and I move a lot. I moved a lot. And I also feel like as soon as I move, I don't talk to those people anymore. And so it's one of my least favorite traits about myself.
Yeah. But it's not only you. You know what happens?
No, it's out of sight.
They forget about you. Because
I hope
the one, when you're the one that moves, moves away.
Yeah.
You remember the people in your childhood.
Right. Yeah.
For them, you're just one person that left in their life.
Okay. I hope no one remembers me. I do feel better about myself.
Like, forget about me. Do you have any pictures? Please do not post on the internet.
Burn them.
So I know I went through that. I mean, and during the time when I was here, there was no internet. Phones were very expensive. So it was mostly letters.
Yeah.
And how do you keep in touch with letters?
Yeah, that's way harder.
So after a few months, you're just like, fuck it. You know, I'm moving on. You know,
stamps.
And you find new friends and stuff. But I think a person, especially a child, needs some roots, right? Some stability.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I just had the roots through the fact that we were just so tied together with our
family.
And that we got along. And I never felt like I couldn't talk to my parents about certain things. So
cool.
It was more like, you know, and this is still how I feel, is home is where my family is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's no physical location. And that's in some way liberating, because you don't. Yeah. I don't feel like I need a place to be like, okay, this is my home. This is my heart.
Yeah.
It's just
and that's why you're
fluid.
The free spirit,
right?
Today,
to me, I'm like,
know?
I need like, the home. I need the heart. I'm a very home person, but I like. I'm so inspired by people who are the other way around.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is awesome. So let's get a little bit to the music, and then we'll continue with your story. A little bit about the music. So, we have like three songs. We could, we still should talk a little bit, but let's just sort of like, okay, so about your music,
yes.
and then we'll go back. You started making music, like recording, like professionally, when?
About not about like 2 years ago.
Two years ago. Yeah. That's cool. And you felt that you wanted to pursue a career in music?
Yeah, I mean, I always loved music. When I was little, I wanted to be Madonna. Just not even like her. I just wanted to be Madonna. And then I want to be an archaeologist, which is like
so, I share that as well.
So random. It's like Madonna archaeologist.
It's the hats. They have great hats. It's
really, those hats. Yeah. I'm telling you. and then I always had a love for learning, and I really focused on that. And I kind of, even though I had a love for music, I never felt like I had any talent. And then, you know, how life goes, you get people thrown into your path who push you towards where you want to be pushed, but you don't feel like pushing yourself. Uh-huh. And it was music for me. I was kind of lost, as in like I didn't feel like I had any purpose. And then I met the right people at the right time in my life, and then I found myself writing music, even though I play a little bit of guitar, but I never learned anything really about music.
Right.
Wow.
So you decided to go deep into it and actually
Something just went off. Yeah. Like a light bulb went off when I had a really good friend of mine that he said, you know, you get it. You get music. How about you should write music. I said, me? That's a great one. And then he said, you know, you have such this kind of free spirit attitude. You should write 60s style music. And then that's when the light bulb went off.
So it was the genre.
It was the
that
genre.
That made the structure for you click.
Absolutely.
Wow. So who came up with this 60s thing?
So it's my friend Ben Wilkins, who actually, he produced my demos. And I met him at a restaurant where I was working.
Nice.
And he was with this friend of his that she was a belly dancer in Uganda.
Sure. They're very popular there.
And I was like, oh, okay. And he's Canadian. He went to McGill and he speaks French as well. And so, you know, I said, okay, these people are cool. I'm going to keep an eye on them. And we became friends. And I used to DJ in Northern California. So, you know, showing him all this music and this and that. And then he said, he's kind of taken aback by how excited I was, because I was so much nerding out. and I can't contain it. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Geeking out.
That will express and dance or such. But yeah, then I just started hearing melodies.
Yeah.
And I remember actually very clearly the first time, and I was getting ready, and then I just heard a melody, and it stuck.
And how do you write it down if you don't know musical notes? You just record what you're saying. Oh, yeah, it's like,
I just record.
Yeah, sure.
On the iPhone. I know. That's thank you, technology.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I'm thinking she's writing with like a quill, yes. And she's like by candlelight. Yeah. Like, or she just puts
Actually, that's not too far off.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, if I actually use a fountain pen to do most of my writing.
Yeah.
So you're not far
Yeah,
off.
Wow, she is doing that.
And there's a lot of candlelight
that tends to be involved.
And it does, you know, sometimes the melody comes by itself. Sometimes it's lyrics and melody. Sometimes it's just lyrics. So, you know, inspiration, I call her a compulsive lover, because she comes when she wants to. She's a little bit of a nymphomaniac.
Oh, yeah. Yes, she is.
But she expresses herself differently. So sometimes it's like, oh, okay, I want to do this. And then I just want to give you a taste, and then I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, okay, now you're just getting the full throttle. Mm. You're getting the full show. So it's just kind of how do I channel the inspiration into trying to make something beautiful.
Wow.
Awesome. We're joined by Brigitte Bertrand. Mm-hmm. Bertrand. I'm trying.
You're very good.
Am I getting close?
So good. Oh,
listen,
so great.
I've taken French for 3 years, but I was like 14 years old, so I never really got to use it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I understand more than I can speak. Mm-hmm. But I love French, and that's why we're going to get to your music. How did you decide to get into so did you make a conscious decision, if I make music, it's going to be in French, or did that somehow
happen?
So, I mean,
French is like second language to you, right?
So French and English are kind of like the angel and the demon in my head, I guess.
Okay.
They're both symbiotic. They're really side by side. So sometimes the French, if I'm talking about certain things, more of the French will kick in, that kind of thing. So it's just kind of where my brain led me. And I, you know, I've always written poetry, and it tends just to be easier in French.
Right.
But at the same time, since, you know, I also speak English, it's so fun to play with the different feelings that I want to put through my music. And so what's great is that I have two languages. So with the French, I can sometimes give a particular feeling.
Right.
And then with the English as well, I can give particular colors. So so the French just tends to be, you know, more sexy, more breathy.
Right.
And it's fun to play with that. And then the English, even just in the language itself, you can be very concise. Mm-hmm. That's what I like about it. So, you know, for instance, I have one of the songs that we're probably going to play. It's called You're Finished. And it's about, you know, you walked in, your suit real slim, but you're finished. Mm-hmm. And so I like... Exactly. So you can really hit hard with... And then the French, it's just so poetic. It's so sultry. It's like silk, that it's more kind of like a caress. So it's fun to play with those two languages and just creating different things. And I'm just lucky that I have the two.
Yeah, that's so smart. I mean, you've got this mix of cultures and everything.
And a lot of French artists, they try to sing in English. Uh-huh. And I actually, for me, that's like, okay, like everybody, you know, that's cool. And I get that you want to do that. I'm like, you know, French is such a beautiful language. How about actually do something that's different, other way.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
You stand out. When I was thinking, I look over at her and I go, is it in French? And she was, and I was like, oh, that's such a cool hook. I love
right,
that.
Right.
I love that.
Okay, so let's play. You sent us about three songs. Mm-hmm. Do you want to play Finished first? Is that the English one or is that the French
one? Yeah, so that's the English one. I sent you that one, and then I have a Brazilian one that's called Baila Conmigo.
Right. And then the Chanson de Julie.
The Chanson de Julie. Yes.
Okay. So, so in three languages.
Yeah.
So Portuguese. Well,
okay. Too? Right? No, not Portuguese. That one is, I mean, I just say Baila Conmigo, which is like in Spanish, but the rest of the song is in French.
Okay.
And then there's a couple like American words, like, yeah, like you call me easy, or so let's, you say go, go.
Should we play that one first then?
Yeah, I like that one. Mix.
So
let's play the mixed one.
Okay, so let's listen to the first song we have here of Brigitte and get a little idea.
I'm like in love with this already.
Really?
Juste un feeling, c'est plus qu'une note, une mélodie. Je vis dans un monde de fantaisie. C'est vraiment easy de dire que t'es pris.
This is awesome. I love this.
God, I love it.
Je ne suis pas brésilienne, mais je sens le tempo dans ma peau. Un coup de soleil.
You know what the cool thing is that, you know, in Israel, when I grew up, there's music from many parts of the world, and French was a very big part of my childhood. So I can relate to this, you know. This is awesome.
Baila con.
By Baila is like dance, right?
Baila conmigo is a dance with me.
Dance with
me.
I love this.
Fully dancing.
Awesome. Well, this is a. I mean, this is
how
cool. So
amazing.
Yeah, and you created Thank a you. Style that's your own. You know, it's unique and stuff. And so now, okay. So this song, did you write the lyrics too?
Yes. So that one actually is one of my first. That the lyrics and the melody came at the same time. Baila conmigo is just something. It's kind of like a phrase that even when I didn't speak very well Spanish, I just love. Mm-hmm. I just love. It's like. Any
it's
moment
just come
that I
dance
want,
with me.
You know, I wish I wanted the whole world to for things to happen so I could say baila conmigo. That's how much I love that phrase. I love Brazilian music. I love bossa nova. And actually in France often there'll be kind of random Brazilian songs that
true,
French
yeah.
people know entirely by heart, like
Whoa.
I do. Like
especially 60s style music,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, like Astro Gilberto. I remember when I first heard it, I was like, who are you? I want to know more. Mm-hmm. And Baila Conmigo, it's about, it's just come dance with me. It's just one night. Let's have some fun. That's why the word tequila is
I heard that tequila.
Tequila.
And you say something like, je ne suis pas,
I'm not Brazilian,
right.
But I feel the tempo in my skin.
Ah,
je sens le tempo dans ma peau.
And the po, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Je t'aime. And I like that.
That
is very fun.
I love French music.
I feel like that should be in a Wes Anderson movie. I feel like that should be, you know what I mean? That's just like a great,
yeah.
a
and
really good soundtrack.
And it's a feel-good song.
It's a feel-good song. I have, what's nice is that actually within the style that I've chosen, some people may think, oh, well, you know, that's actually, you know, very limiting. Actually, within itself, there's so much that I can work with, that I can have fun with. It's actually not.
What's funny?
It's like not limiting at all.
What's funny is like you were almost so limitless that you needed a structure
exactly.
for you to. You said it took the genre
exactly,
and that's when it became good for you. So it's like you needed that structure. Mm-hmm. You need those walls and boundaries, but within that, there's like a world.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's great.
I know my own little fantasy.
Yeah,
world.
It sounds. I love it. I feel like I'm in a glass of champagne when I listen to that. Right.
Yeah.
I'm like a bubble. La 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 la. Je ne suis.
Yeah, like a bottle. Yeah, like a champagne bottle, French champagne bottle. There you go. Yeah. So, Brigitte, let people find out more about you. What is your website?
So my website is my name, which is BrigitteBertrand.net, and that has a little bit as the demos are there. And a little bit about me if you weren't here for a little bit earlier of the show. Some gallery. I have a video that I did. I did like a video collage. So I was really into collages when I was little.
Oh,
like,
wow. So you did a video collage.
So I would collect all these magazines and just put images together. And I've always been intrigued by that. And so the other day it was just like, whoop, okay, there she is. The inspiration just kind of... swooped me in. I almost got frustrated with myself. I was like, okay, breathe. You're going to be able to do art. Calm down. So I did that to one of my songs. So it kind of has like some like burlesque footage and this and that. Yeah, and it's for one of my songs that you can listen to on my website. It's called Je vais me faire toute belle, which kind of is like a quiet revenge of a girl who basically is making herself all beautiful because she doesn't believe in a man.
Mm.
So, you know, almost like you just broke up with somebody and you know what? You're going to put on your best dress and do your hair. Mm-hmm. And even if it's just to go to the grocery store, you're going to do it.
Look good doing it. Looking good.
Oh boy, the women are taking over the world.
We are, thank God.
We're gonna have
you men
the
have
world
had a chance.
Of Amazons.
You've had your chance. We're gonna take over. And
civilize,
my love.
It's all about embracing the sensuality and the sexuality of a woman and not being afraid of her power. That's
French,
and that's how I feel. And I did kind of realize when I was in college. About how much of the cultural scripts that were given to me about how women should be. And some girls would say, oh, why aren't you wearing makeup? You're supposed to meet your future husband in class in college. And like those kind of comments. And like, this is what?
She's the dolphin. You can't do that to
I'm
the
like,
dolphin.
This is So a lot of the music actually stems from that frustration, which became a kind of like an act of just being myself, being right. the woman that I want to be, not being like, okay, I get, you know, that there is this whole cultural construct that, okay, I'm going to get a career and then have a kid and have a husband, but I don't need to fit within that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Especially not now. Mm-hmm. There's so much more that I
can
do.
I mean, you're still young. Yeah. I mean, you still have your life ahead of you and you don't want to tie yourself down.
And I'm not dismissing that, but it's just more about, you know, enjoy the moment. Mm-hmm. You don't have to constantly be thinking about the future. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, that's
very Buddhist of you.
I had anxiety and it was because I kept on feeling like something was close in the future. Mm. And then something happened and I said, you know what? I'm just going to be patient. I'm just going to be in the moment and have fun with it.
What did you smoke or eat? I'll take some of that too.
Yeah,
right?
You'll have
because that's what
that.
You need. Patience.
Yeah. And so you'll have some of what she's having.
Yeah. I'll have. That's what I wanted to say. Yeah, that's right. I wanted to.
All right. So Chanson de Julie, what is that about?
So Chanson de Julie, it's about my best friend. And her name is Julie Cola. And we randomly met. We were both first week in L.A., and it's about the lyrics of a song go, j'aime bien fumer quand tu es là. I like to smoke when you're around. Parce que tu es avec moi, because you're with me. So it kind of talks about, you know, it's a metaphor. It's not all about smoking. About enjoying and taking those small moments and embracing them. Mm. So especially, you know, she's my best friend and it's just, every time I see her, it's like there's so many butterflies and I'm just so happy. And I,
wow, how cool
and
is that,
so kind of, you know, what's nice about smoking, and I quit, and it's been more than,
that's
it's
okay.
been 3 weeks.
I, yeah. Re- Good, 3 weeks?
3 weeks, yeah.
Wow, congratulations
thank
to you.
Thank
you.
Applause.
Yeah.
So, so, you know, and I still love this song so much. It's not like I feel where I'm like, okay, and I'm not smoking anymore.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with it.
Listen to it. Yeah, right.
It has nothing to do
but
with it.
But it's about, you know, kind of marking the moments that you share with different people. And so this song is like, I like to smoke her around with me. And even though, you know, the doctors tell me it's bad and I'm losing 7 minutes with each cigarette,
but
it's because
you bond around the cigarettes and stuff. Yeah, people are used
that's
to do
how
that
you
all
bond,
the time.
Yeah.
I
you
mean, the people
the
that go downstairs and smoke in the building here, we all bond, you know.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear the song, Julie's song, right?
Yes.
That's what it means.
Chanson de Julie.
Tu es là, j'aime bien cloper quand t'es là-bas. J'aime bien fumer quand tu es là, parce que tu es avec moi. La fumée qui nous détient, elle nous rend un peu parisiens. J'aime bien fumer quand tu es là, parce que tu es avec moi. On me dit pas tous les
dying to hear the whole thing, but we're running out of time.
God
quickly,
dang, that's sexy, yes,
but that's
song.
Okay. Let's give people a reason to find the music, to download it.
Absolutely.
Where can people find the music?
So you can find out either my website or on SoundCloud. On SoundCloud, it's soundcloud.com/my name.
Nice.
Okay.
And there's also some kind of live covers as well. Some different things, and yeah, you can just listen there. I'm not quite like on the iTunes and everything, because because I'm not there yet, and
you will be.
And I don't feel that, you know, I don't feel the need to make people pay for my music, because right now it's just more like, okay,
listen to it. Yeah.
Like this is these are my babies. Here they are.
Check them out.
Exactly. That, you see, run away. That's the thing. Everybody always thinks about the money first. It's do it because you love it. Yeah. You know?
Build a band.
Enough with the money already. The money will come if it's supposed to.
Exactly. You got to know that, though. That sounds so cinematic. I mean, Quentin Tarantino would like have a wet dream over that in a French scene. You know what I'm saying? That is such a cinematic. You got to think of maybe talking to like music supervision for like a girl's episode.
Yeah.
That would be an amazing.
Yeah, no,
you know what I mean?
I'm on my way over there. I did a song for a short movie.
Yeah, I could see it for movies.
Yeah, yeah. So I did that. They didn't actually end up using it for the short movie, the version that I saw, because the short movie actually ended up in Tribeca.
Oh, wow.
But they're
okay,
probably
going
to use it for the future. I mean, that's definitely a thing. And
it's so rich.
I love like cinematic, you know, music, especially like Quentin Tarantino. I mean, I have the song from Pulp Fiction, you know, the scene, Uma Thurman and John Travolta as my ringtone.
I called it. Yeah.
But because that's, you know, the kind of thing. I think music, and my thing is, one of the things I love about music is making kind of every moment epic. So even if you're going to the grocery store, you can put on a certain song and you feel like you're in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also one of the things that I like to play with. And I think that's also one of the reasons why things kind of come out so cinematic, because I'm like,
yes,
how can we make this moment even
you're
more
like thinking
epic?
So visually about it. Mm-hmm. yeah I would, like, when I went to Italy, I'd sit in the trains and smoke my cigarettes, mm-hmm. and I'd listen to this and pretend I was definitely in some kind of dark Ethan Hawke movie, right? Yeah. You know, totally.
Well, Brigitte Bertrand, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so
tell
much
people
for having me.
All you have to do really is just Google her name, mm-hmm. rather than try and look up .net and all that stuff, right?
The thing is, there's actually
there's another
wait a minute.
One.
There's
your
another
name?
One, and she's this very large-breasted Canadian model.
Whoa!
And so Google hasn't quite understood that I'm like the other one.
The other one. Okay.
So, and you can also find me, you know, on Instagram. It's Chante Brigitte, C-H, Chante is to sing, C-H-A-N-T-E, and then my first name, Brigitte, and that has like the links to the different things.
Nice.
Okay,
on
cool.
My Instagram.
All right, Chante. So just look her up, check out the music, very mm-hmm. cool, I mean, very
Thank
unique,
you.
You have your own sound, and that's cool, mm-hmm. so much luck to you, and you're just getting started now,
oh,
you know what I mean?
I'm just getting started.
So that's good, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I'm ready to rock and roll.
And there's a lesson for you for all these smart asses that come to LA and think, why aren't you buying my music? Well, you know what? Nobody knows you until you make yourself known, you know? Mm-hmm. And you gotta be out there. And people, like, make music and it's like, no, people are not going to buy it because there's a lot of music. They're going to listen to Beyonce and Rihanna before they listen to you.
Yeah.
But when you come with a unique product like yours, if people want to listen to that type of music, that's your niche.
You know,
you know?
I met somebody who said, you're making music for music lovers. And he said that might be limiting. I'm like, no, like not at all. You know, because I'm doing it because this is something that I want to listen to. Not necessarily because, I made it and this and that. But it's a particular feeling that I get from the different songs from the 60s.
And that's what art is about.
Yeah,
you don't do it in order to sell it.
Yeah, like
know?
When I do stand-up, I'm not like, who's buying these jokes?
Right.
I'm like, I'm trying to make you have a good night.
Yeah, exactly.
When I'm Amy Schumer, you can buy my album. You know what I mean? But
exactly. Yeah. But first you got to work on being Amy Schumer, you know?
Yeah.
And people want to take shortcuts, and it doesn't work that way.
No. I think setting aside your ego and just making art for the sake of art is and it's liberating. That's what it is, because you're taking this energy that's within inside of you and you're creating a product. And, you know, in the tarot, that's the magician, is you're taking the ideas from above and you're making them material.
Right.
And just having the capability to do that is magical.
Yeah,
so that is to be embraced. And then money is paper and cotton. Whatever.
Although I'd love to have a lot of it, man.
Yeah.
Jeez, I could use some just about now. Brigitte, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You're
for having
obviously
me.
Very talented.
Thank you.
And we wish you continued success.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
back anytime.
It.
Sunday, the 12th, I'm at Flappers in Burbank, guys, at 9 p.m.
Oh.
For a stand-up show.
Flappers, 9 p.m.
Yes.
When on the 12th, that's Sunday night?
Yes, Sunday night, people. So if
Flappers,
you're interested, come on
in Burbank.
Down.
They have good food,
right?
They have great food.
Yeah.
Venue.
Go there. I'll try and come. Sunday night?
Yeah.
9 o'clock. Yeah, I can be there.
We, okay, we all cool. need a little what laugh. The hell?
Come on.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. There you go. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Have a great weekend, Tori.
Thank you.
And
you too, Sam.
We love everybody in the world. And on that note, we'll see you on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.